Gold to the rescue. The treaty that closed that conflict was signed in 1919, also at Versailles. The fact that America's love of peace and hatred of war had caused her to delay preparation for emergencies was no deterrent where the eternal principles of liberty were at stake. The country proceeded vigorously to make good the deficiency, although but few people thought it possible to organize, arm, and equip 2 million men and on transport them across the seas in time to aid the Allies. The training of that army was completed in France, mainly with the help of French units. What Marshal Pétain has generously said about the services of our army will be appreciated, will be especially appealing to the Americans who fought in France. These words of praise from the greatest living military authority will be cherished as long as memory lasts. It is most gratifying to hear his frank acknowledgement of the soundness of the American plan for the formation of its forces and their use as an independent army. Anything I could say in reply would but faintly convey the gratitude I feel. This statement of this importance on this important occasion illustrates again the greatness of the man. But the achievements of the American Army would not have been possible had it not been for the preceding 3 years of heroic defense by the French. They had held out against the furious attacks of what was without doubt the most perfect military machine the world had ever seen. But the reason they were able to do so was that the armies of France were composed of men whose traditions taught them the necessity of sacrifice, and they made it without stint. The distinguished marshal, in speaking of the soldier of Verdun, has said, "He was a simple man, with a man's virtues and weaknesses, a man of our people whose thoughts and affections had remained close to the family circle, to the shop, the office, the village, or the farm where he had been raised. But it is exactly these individual ties which led him to complete devotion. Having become an experienced soldier, confident of himself and of his comrades, proud of his reputation, he went into the lines certainly without enthusiasm, but also without weakness. Conscious of his country's needs, he did his duty to the limit of his strength. But the spirit of an army is precisely that of its commander. If he is confident and aggressive, his army will be confident and aggressive. The French army, as we knew it, under Marshal Pétain, simply reflected the fine spirit of its commander-in-chief." Among the many leaders who survived the hard tests of war were men of outstanding ability. Marshal